So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Clark. This week, another special guest. We've got the head coach and founder, whatever you want to talk about, Team Triumph, a local triathlon club in Ottawa. That's a little different, and we'll talk about why it's a little different. Welcome to the podcast, Julie Amers.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into specifics about total immersion swimming and your cool camps in Utah and stem cell stuff, can you let us know how you kind of got here? How does someone become the head coach of a triathlon club?
Yeah. Well, it started when I was about 5 years old, and I always knew that I wanted to be a gym teacher, I called it back then. And I started teaching people in my basement. So I had little gym mats in my basement, and I started teaching people in the basement. And then I went on to be a competitive badminton player. And by nine, I was teaching five-year-olds how to play badminton. So this has been a passion that I've had all of my life, to share with people the ability to get healthy through fitness activities. So I went on to university, went to Concordia, got a degree in recreation, and then got my certified exercise physiologist designation right away before I'd even graduated. Started working as at the Ottawa Athletic Club, wanted to be the fitness director there, zoomed into that job, spent 9 years doing that, and then branched off on my own, started working in corporate fitness. And a couple of people had come to me and said they wanted to do their first triathlon. And it was around 2002 when Simon Whitfield won the gold medal in the Sydney Games. And I'd had experience running a smaller triathlon club at the Ottawa Athletic Club. So I decided I'll give this one a shot. So we started with about five or six people. And then our little club has grown. 16 years later, we have 110 members in the club.
That's awesome. And what kind of variety do you see? Young, old, women, men, skinny, heavier, what's the variety? Yeah.
Right now, I would say most of our members have kind of gone over the 40, 50-year-old age category. We started with young mums and dads who wanted to stay home with their kids, or people who worked shifts and needed to have a workout during the daytime, so between the 9 and 5 hours. So we started out like that, and now those people have all stayed with us, and 16 years later, their kids have grown up, they've gone to university, but they still want to hit some really great goals in their life.
Okay. And most of these folks would be weekend warriors that want to kind of get better at a sport or the sport of triathlon?
Yeah, not so much the weekend warriors. We do have some of those, but a lot of them are retired now.
Okay.
And they're looking for a community because they no longer have the community at work. So they want people to hang out with, and people who want to do healthy activities rather than just sitting in front of the TV on the couch. So that's pretty much who we've got hanging out with us now.
And what kind of outings do you plan for these folks?
So coming up, we are going to Utah, which is fun. We go every year. We've done Arizona, but we really prefer St. George, Utah.
And why is that?
It's just a great area to play in. Literally, we go out the back door and you can get on your bike and climb Snow Mountain and Snow Canyon. It's a state park. We can hike in there. We can run in there. We've got 3 swimming pools in our resort to play in. And then the hikes are just unbelievable there. Red rocks everywhere. We do yoga in the canyon. So we call it yoga on the beach because we're in the desert. So we're lying on sand surrounded by rock doing yoga in the most peaceful place on earth. It's such a treat.
And so what would a typical day at camp?
It's winter camp,
I guess. What would it be like?
Typically, we wake up, we go for a hike or a trail run into the canyon, and it's a beautiful sort of cool temperature starting at about 10 degrees because we go in April. Beautiful blue skies. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Ever?
Never. It's like it never rains in Utah. And then we come down, have a little snack, and then put on the bathing suits and jump in the pool, or we'll go and do a yoga in the morning. So we alternate between swimming and yoga in the morning. Then we come back and then have a proper brunch before we go for our ride. And then typically the ride can go anywhere between 25 to 80K if you want. And we hit that St. George Ironman course. Yeah. So it's challenging. It's rolling. It's fun. But we work hard and then come home and have nibblies by the pool and laugh about the day and have some good dinner and wake up and do it again the next day.
Yeah. Very cool. Sounds a lot like Tri-Rudy Camp, which I've been to a bunch of times. They're in North Carolina. Probably not as picturesque, but very similar. Getting a good group of people together. You've got the thing with Rudy Camp is you've got former pro triathletes and then people who've never done a triathlon together. And then you know, obviously the rides do go from 20 to 200K.
Yeah.
And obviously you got to go with the right people. And the first couple of days, there's a lot of kind of feeling each other out. But then after that, it's there's something about, like, unfortunately, most adults, I don't think, do camps after whatever high school or whenever camps would end. But it's such a, what do you think makes camps like this so special?
The bonds that people have are unbelievable. By the end of the week, people are their best friends, and they're best friends for life. Like, some of the bonds are
BFFs.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Like, after that, some people went on a sailing trip together from our group. Six of them or eight of them went on a sailing trip in the British Virgin Islands for 2 weeks together. Like, they're best friends now. And that's so special. As you get older, you need friendships. You need to be surrounded by people. And so many people, as they get older, they isolate themselves, especially when they retire. And those friendships are the most valuable thing, I think. Yeah.
And I've done a lot of podcasts on more of the mental health aspect. And community is a term that keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. And as I'm getting older and living by myself, it's the same thing. I mean, I do crave community. We're social beings. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this incredible book called Sapiens. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No,
it's about the, I think it's called A Brief History of Humankind. And it's literally about how, you know, the last 1 million years and how the world has changed. And it's the one thing that's constant. Yeah, there's always change, but we're very community driven, whether it's a triathlon club or used to be church or, you know, it used to be family, because back then, you know, especially 100 years ago, most were small villages and you knew everyone. Yeah. Now we're living in cities. We don't know them people. So it's great that you can make those links, and especially with wellness or fitness, however you define it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think is as kept you in the fitness game for so long?
I just love helping people. I mean, my life goal has always been to reach as many people as I can in my life and make healthy changes to their life. It's just a passion that it's inside me. And I used to do a lot of personal training, and I suddenly went, that's just hitting one person or two people. You know, I want to hit more people so that we can really make a change in a lot of people's lives. And with a club, you can do that because you have group training rather than just one-on-one. I do personal training as well, but the group training is where it's at for me. I really enjoy that.
And what are some of the building blocks or some of the philosophies that you have at Team Triumph?
Community first. Yeah. I think that that's super important, making sure that we're building a friendly community. I think a lot of times in a triathlon club, people can get really competitive with each other, and there's just no place for that. Yeah. You know,
that's one of the reasons why I kind of took a step back from triathlon about it almost a decade ago, where it's like, everyone's like, oh, so what's your PB? And it's like, well, sometimes I just want to go out for a ride or do a race without any training, just for fun.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And you got to take people from where they're at. And I do this test with everybody when they first start with me called the 8 colors of fitness. And it's a personality test, and it'll tell me what personality they are. And if you're a silver, well, you're there for the social and for the workout, but it's really about the social. Yeah. So I need to take you from where you are. But if you're a blue or a gold, I need to make sure that, you know, you are in your own lane and you want to go, and maybe you don't want to talk to anybody, but everybody's got their own reasons for being there. And I think if you know that that's who you are and you appreciate who you are, then you can also be a little bit more giving when it comes to talking to other people and realizing, okay, well, once the workout's over, I should be a little bit more social and not be competitive with other people, because it's really not about being competitive with other people in the club. Yeah. Being competitive with yourself if you want.
Especially at that age, not, I mean, once you've retired, you're not going to the Olympics anymore.
No.
So it's exactly. Like, okay, whether you make a, you know, take a minute off or have an extra minute on your bike time, not the end of the world.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But for some people it is. Yeah. And they still want to go to Kona.
Yeah.
I've got two gals going to Boston this year, who are over 50. One of them's turning 60. In 3 weeks, she's going to Tokyo to do the marathon, celebrating her 60th year. So yeah, there's some people who still really are very competitive, but not with each other.
Yeah.
It's with themselves. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, so with your background, you know, obviously a exercise physiologist, you're a total immersion swim coach.
Yep.
A triathlon coach as well. Like, how do you differ from a lot of the other local or the typical triathlon coaches?
Well, I think my total immersion background brought me to a different place with the swimming coaching. A lot of the swim clubs have a tendency to come more from the master's swimming side, which typically triathletes don't want to do all the different strokes. They don't really care to learn the different strokes. I throw them in because I think it's important for the muscular balance, but the total immersion is very different philosophy. It's slowing down to get faster. It's taking the struggle out of the stroke. It's not flying off, you know, hundreds of laps back and forth with a bad stroke. There's no point. Kevin Willis is a perfect example. He started with me, I think it was 8 or 9 years ago now. Couldn't swim, but, you know, didn't have much of a stroke. Did a bunch of private lessons, jumped in the pool, jumped in the second lane, which is our second from beginner. Within 8 years, he was winning the world championships going to the world championships in Kona and in Ultraman. So this guy won the Canadian Ultraman championships purely from learning how to swim with total immersion.
Yeah.
And it was all about just slowing down to get faster. He was super fit, but he realized very quickly that struggling through the pool wasn't going to get him any faster in the pool.
You're right. Fighting the water is not helping?
No.
Can you explain to people what total immersion is? Because, I mean, I know it. And I've taken, I've never taken a camp, but I've done a bunch of videos. I've done a bunch of the exercises. And with my background in chi running is very, very similar, very, very well aligned with total immersion. So for people that don't know, what is, how would you describe, like, let's say your neighbors, like, oh, I heard about this total immersion thing. What is it?
Yeah, what is it? So how does it differ? It's a philosophy. It was started by Terry Laughlin. And luckily I've had two trainings with total immersion. The first one was about 17 years ago now, and it was in Cancun.
Not a bad place to learn to swim.
No, not a bad place. It was at the International Coaching Conference for Triathlon in Cancun. And it was, I guess, 3 days before the World Championships for ITU. So anyway, they presented this at this.
And Terry did?
No, Terry wasn't there. There was another guy and a girl there. I can't remember their name. They presented this at this International Coaching Conference, and I thought, this is brilliant. So I immediately went back to the pool at the hotel and tried it out. And the first thing is, the reason it's called total immersion is that Terry realized that humans typically swim with their heads up and their legs down, right?
Yeah.
And so he called it total immersion because he realized that we needed to get the head and upper body down so that the legs come up and we're more balanced in the water. So I immediately went back to the pool, tried this, and realized, wow, this is going to work. I'm going to do this, because I was competing in the World Championships that week too. Yeah. So had an amazing 1500 meter swim in the World Championships just by making that change of taking the head down. He also calls it fish-like swimming because he observed that typically humans, not only do they have their heads up and legs down, but they also plow through the water flat. So he said, now we need to make you more like a fish, because fish swim on their side. So it's more about not kicking as hard and using your body to swim from one side to the other side by doing this hip rotation. The drills he developed were unbelievable. So the first round of drills that I learned in Mexico all changed when I went back and had another training with him about 4 years ago now in Montreal. I spent a weekend training with him and realized that he'd completely changed the way he was coaching, because he loved the challenge of seeing if how to perfect the stroke even more. And these drills were even more magical than the ones that I'd learned before. So now I feel so comfortable taking somebody who can't even float and turn them into a swimmer. A gal that I worked with last spring, she got to her first swimming lesson and said, "Oh, by the way, I don't put my face in the water." And I just thought, oh gosh, this isn't going to go so well. She's swimming at Canterbury Pool with us every week. Now she's swimming up and down the pool, no problem. Face is in the water, no problem. And it's all this great total immersion teaching.
Yeah. It's for those who don't know, Terry actually passed away, I think it was late 2017.
Yeah, yeah. Very sad.
Yeah, very sad. There's some great stuff out there. He did one of his last interviews was on the Tim Ferriss podcast. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that. It's pretty good. It's pretty touching too.
Yeah.
Very wise man. He's helped a lot of folks, including Tim Ferriss, how to swim. And I really enjoy his philosophies. And I think for someone, especially an adult learning how to swim, it's the best way to learn.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of folks that, like, if you start to learn as a kid and you're a pretty good swimmer, then sometimes it is going to take a little bit of time to kind of change your technique.
Definitely.
But for someone, you know, who's 50 years old, who hasn't swam in 30 years, total immersion is the bomb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. The morning after Terry passed away, I had to coach. So I was on deck 6:30 in the morning. I had 25 people in the pool, and I was feeling pretty emotional, pretty chewed up. And I thought, I've lost my mentor. I've lost this person who has guided me for the last, 18 years on how to teach swimming. But then it suddenly came to me that the same interest that he has in swimming, I can do that too. And he learned from his students. And so I looked at my students differently after that day. And I thought, they're going to teach me what I need to know to get them through the water easier, whether it's language or a drill or something. Those little cues that they say back to you. Now I'm the one who needs to listen and make those changes and go ahead and continue his mission, because it's really pretty cool, pretty special what he's done.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was like an average U.S. college swim coach. Like, he was not like the world's, but then he just said, you know what? I can impact more people by doing this for the average person and to help, swimmers that are probably not going to the Olympics. So, and it's really, you should really listen to that podcast. It was great to look at his career and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So how does your total immersion background impact your other sports, like running and cycling and...
Well, like you said, the chi running's very close to the total immersion running, and it's the whole philosophy of like slowing down to get faster, like just working with your breath. There's a lot of work with breath in swimming, the same way there is in chi running, and the same way there is in yoga. So I bring it into the yoga practice as well. I teach yoga for athletes, and we work a lot on the breath and how it relates back to the other sports. The amazing thing was, after I did my coaching class weekend with Terry, I immediately came back, and the drill that we had worked on, I call it Shavasana in the pool now. So I've already started changing what he called the Superman float. I call it pool Shavasana. All of a sudden I found myself relaxing the same way that I do in the pool. He asks you to relax, breathing out slowly through your nose, release all the, tension in your jaw, all the tension in your neck. All of a sudden I get on my bike and I'm doing it there.
Yeah.
So it relates to all the different sports, right? The same way that you have to relax in the pool, you got to relax in the bike. Because if your tension on the bike is, shoulders up to your ears and you're holding onto those aero bars for dear life, all of your energy is going into your upper body and not where you need it, in the legs. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. It works through all of those different sports. And the chi running that you can talk to us about in Team Triumph, you came and did a clinic with us. It's absolutely the same philosophy.
Yeah, and I found like so some people ask me like, you know, like, well, you have to spend a lot of energy in cycling when you're going up a hill. And I said, well, just watch a Tour de France riders. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so relaxed. Their upper body is barely moving. I mean, yes, their legs are pumping crazy, of course. And they're going out a good clip. But I think it's, and I was lucky to get that kind of stuff through Chi Running, but I haven't read the Total Immersion book and seen a bunch of videos. It's very evident that it's the same thing. So the author of Chi Running talks about Terry being a brother from a different mother. So
they were friends.
Yeah, they were friends. Yeah. They shared a lot of teaching philosophies together, and they had a lot of fun, and they would do weekends, combo weekends, where people would learn swimming and running in the same weekend. And unfortunately, those can't happen anymore, but I'm sure they'll get something together again. It's such a cool way for people to be active without killing their body. And the biggest thing I get from Total Immersion, the same thing I get from Chi Running, is efficiency.
Yeah, efficiency is huge.
Yeah, and especially because, I mean, when I started, I was never that great of a swimmer. And ironically, when I started training for triathlon, I used to work at Swim Canada. Mm-hmm. And I had access to world-class coaches and stuff, but I was never a swimmer. I don't have a swimmer's body. I'm a very good sinker. Mm-hmm. And I used to just fight the water. I was coming from a power background, so I could, you know, especially when you're doing, short triathlons, I could fight the water 500 meters and then get on my bike. But and I realized I was just spending way too much energy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see that all the time. Typically, people come in and they're kicking like crazy and they're creating all this splash. And I mean, one of the first things that Terry does is in his clinics is he looks at how many bubbles you have in the water, and the more bubbles you're creating, the more resistance you're creating. So he talks about, you know, gently slipping your hand through a small slot through the water instead of slapping your hand on the water, which is resistance, right? Yeah. So we really look at resistance points when we're coaching.
And it's funny because most old school would look at like, no, let's get more power through the water. Like that's how, and same thing with running. Like, no, let's get, same thing on the bike. Let's get more water. Just like, well, that's one aspect.
Yeah.
But if you also decrease the drag or the resistance or all that stuff, then you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how much triathletes spend on a bike to get the most, you know, efficient bike.
Yeah.
But then they don't want to work on their swim stroke.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's doesn't cost as much as a bike working on your swim stroke.
I know, but a lot of people like to pay the money and have the coolest gear. And I think that's one of the things that I do miss from triathlon is like seeing all the latest and greatest. And I think triathletes are the most gadget obsessed people.
Yeah, we are.
In the world. Like,
it's true.
And So, speaking of running, you've had some issues over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then you've had some help recently in the form of stem cells.
Yeah.
What's that been all about? Tell us.
So very exciting. It's new science. Well, new to Canada, but not so new to the U.S. I had a problem with my knee. I fell on the famous Ottawa Canal and tripped over a crack and tore my hamstring. And that went into my knee and tore some of my tendon in my knee. So I got some cleanup, they call it here in Canada, on the knee. And now I laugh when I hear cleanup, because cleanup means take away from your knee rather than add to your knee. And that was a disaster for me. I started growing some arthritis in my knee, and I had pain in my knee that I'd never had before. So I started researching a different route, and I had some stem cells done in Canada. I found a local doctor in Ottawa who was just starting to do stem cells in Ottawa. He was the first guy in Eastern Canada to do it. I had some success with it. It got me running again because this had shut me down completely from running. But it wasn't enough. I wanted more. And I had already done some research on a big company in Colorado called Regenix. And these guys are the stem cell masters, as far as I can see. They've been doing it a lot longer, 15 or so years. And the docs there have a real passion for making this work for people. So I went down to Colorado last summer, and it was a totally different experience. I was in and out of the clinic for 9 days, having pre-injections of prolotherapy. The doc went right through a full examination for an hour. I met with a physio down there. They discovered that I had some issues going on in my back that was affecting my knee. They have issues in my ankle from when I was playing competitive badminton that was also affecting my knee. So they injected my spine, my knee, and my ankle with stem cells. And the result is it's 5 months later and I've been running 10K again and I'm happy, happy, happy. Yeah. Amazing.
So what would be a good candidate or a bad candidate for stem cell? And what do you call it? Rejuvenation?
Regeneration.
Regeneration.
Yeah. So we use our own stem cells. Yeah. So they take you can either have it out of your adipose tissue, which is what I had done in Canada, or you can have it out of your bone marrow in your hip. So they took four blood draws out of my hip. And then they put it into a petri dish and bring it back into your knee. So, what was the question again?
So what's the process like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So after a couple of weeks, you're just starting to hobble around and then you just sort of generally slowly come back to it. I know what you were asking me, and this is really, really cool and important. So before you have stem cells, you have an interview with the doctor down in Colorado, and he wants to know what your diet's like, how you train, if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, if you do drugs. They want to know all about that if you're overweight, because they're not interested in taking somebody who's not going to be a good candidate.
Okay.
So if you've got sugar in your diet and you're eating, they are not interested.
Oh, wow.
They're not interested in taking anybody who's got an inflammatory diet. They're not interested in anybody with metabolic syndrome because it's not going to work. Your stem cells aren't as healthy.
Yeah.
So if you're somewhat healthy and you're willing to make those changes, then they'll take you. So the diet before, you've got to be super careful. You're in low carb. You're not eating any sugar at all. No added sugar. I didn't drink any alcohol, no drugs. I was just clean, clean living as best as you can. Not trying to create a lot of inflammation in your body through high impact type training. So trying to keep the high intensity interval training down before you go in, so that your body knows where the stem cells should go. If you're covered in inflammation, the stem cells are going to go where the inflammation is. And if the inflammation is in your shoulder when you want it in your knee, there's no point, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's why they do the prolotherapy. The prolotherapy is a sugar solution that they inject into your knee before the stem cells. So the stem cells know where to go.
Okay. So then it leads the path. Yeah. Very cool.
So interesting. Yeah. So interesting. Yeah.
So I would kind of say you're an advocate for stem cell stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But with all of those things in mind, right? Knowing that if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. And you got to watch what you eat and make sure you keep
Did they give you a diet to follow or are they just, okay.
Oh yeah.
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 So they're regimented.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And fish oil and turmeric and chondroitin. There's a special mix that you're supposed to take. Of all of these things to
and
help.
I don't want to get into too many details with respect to cost, but is this, I'm assuming it's not covered by Canadian?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I wish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it can be a somewhat costly endeavor.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's what I do for a living.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it's for you. It's an investment and it's something that you want, whereas some people would rather go on a beach vacation to Jamaica
exactly. You know. And one of the things that this amazing doctor down there said to me is he said, after this interview, he said, Julia, I know what you're doing down there or up there in Canada. I can hear how many people you're helping.
Yeah.
It almost brought me to tears when he said that. I was like, you get it.
Yeah.
I need to be able to keep doing this the rest of my life so I can help other people. And me being on the couch with my knee up in the air is not helping other people. So he actually gave me a little bit of a break.
Oh, nice.
The Canadian break.
Yeah, nice. The friendly Canadian discount.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you like, and I, not that we're BFFs, but I've been exposed to your teaching and stuff, and I think I know the answer, but could you see your, like, could you coach? Because I've seen some coaches in the past where they just coach from the deck, but they're really like just shouting stuff. They don't really, like, you're very hands-on.
Yeah.
Could you have changed your style to, let's say tomorrow you get in a car accident and your knee is not, like, you have to wear a splint for the next 20 years. Like, could you coach from the sidelines?
It would be tough. I'd like to be really involved in what I do. Absolutely. But I don't think I could sit on the couch either. No. Yeah, I'm too crazy about all this stuff. I just think it's part of my life. It's who I am. Yeah. I can't imagine doing it any differently. And it's a big joke in Team Triumph because we all said, you know, we're going to end up in a senior's home and we're 90 years old having wheelchair races and I'll be teaching chair yoga, you know. So, yeah, we'll still be at it.
How does yoga fit into all this for you?
Yoga came to me actually after I went through a really hard time with anxiety. It came completely out of the blue for me. I'd never had any issues with it at all. And it suddenly just hit me in the back of the head, really. My brother passed away suddenly and it was from a heart problem and there was potentially a problem in the family. And so I was worried about my own health. And so anyway, I started doing yoga as a way of getting healthy again from anxiety. I had to take some medication for it. But my commitment was I've got to keep doing yoga. And so I was doing yoga once or twice a day.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I realized that I hadn't seen my athletic therapist in a long time. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I started to realize that these postures were so important for sport because all of a sudden my glutes are stronger, my adductors are stronger, I'm breathing better when I'm doing my sport, and I'm not getting injured.
Yeah, I think that's what they say. Yoga a day keeps the athletic therapist away.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's true. It's true. Yeah.
It's almost as good as an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
But yeah.
No, that's that's why I enjoy, and that's why I send people to you, because you've got that holistic approach where it's not, I mean, there's nothing wrong with teaching, you know, the sports, but it's also, I think, and that's where I've really changed over the last few years. Like, I remember when I was doing Ironman, it was, like, I would dedicate, let's say, 10 hours a week to training.
Yeah.
Well, the 10 hours were spent either on the bike with my running shoes on or in the pool.
Right.
Whereas now I might do 10 hours a week of, like, and I'm doing air quotes training, but now it's a couple hours of yoga, a couple hours of some meditation time, some hockey, some cross training, just all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, my body's not as beat up and like snowshoeing and doing other stuff that you can enjoy. And also you can still get fit, but in a totally different way.
Yeah. And so, I often, when I'm putting people's programs, I use Training Peaks as a platform to train people. Yeah. And when I'm putting people into Training Peaks onto their program on a Sunday, I'll say, this is your family activity day. Go do something completely different and take your watch off, remove your Garmin and just go and be and enjoy your family. Have partner time. It's so important, you know, with people training and working so hard. All of a sudden, you know, they look at me and go, I think I'm going to need to leave my husband. No, no, it's not that important. This Ironman.
Yeah, it's true. The Ironman only lasts a day. Hopefully your marriage lasts a little longer than that.
Exactly.
Really cool conversation about all kinds of stuff, but I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to ask one more question, and it's a question I ask all my guests. What does wellness mean to you?
What does... it's optimal health.
And how would you define optimal health?
Optimal health is the balance of mind, body, spirit, which is where I started my career at the YMCA. It's taking care of family, community, health, eating properly, exercising properly, not overtraining, waking up every morning and saying, wow, I feel fit. I feel fabulous. I've had a great night's sleep. I really push people sleeping enough, keeping a positive mindset always. February is usually my crusade month for staying positive, not complaining about things, and just, living life to the fullest.
That sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sold. Okay. Where can people find out more about you on the socials, Team Triumph, and some of the stuff that you're...
So we've got a website, www.teamtriumph.ca.
Yeah.
We're on Facebook with Team Triumph Triathlon Club, on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll link to all that stuff in the show notes. And you're still involved with the Meech Lake, or I guess not called the Meech Lake anymore, but Mike Collingwood Triathlon.
That's right. Yeah.
And what's your involvement in that before we leave?
Okay, so when I was working at the OAC full-time, that was my job, was to run the Meech Lake Triathlon. At the time, it was called the Ottawa Athletic Club Meech Lake Triathlon. And Mike Collingwood was my swimming mentor. He was my first swimming coach. And he and I would put on the triathlon together. Very, very sadly and tragically, he called me 2 weeks before he died, and he passed away suddenly from a heart attack. He kept me on the phone for an hour, and he said, "This is a big year. We're celebrating, I can't remember what anniversary it was then, 25 years or 30 years for the Meech Lake Triathlon, and I want to do something special." Well, he kept me on the phone for an hour, and I had nothing to do with the triathlon except my triathlon club participating. Yeah. And then he passed away 2 weeks later. And so I immediately called up Mark Roy, who is from Mark Sports Stars.
Yeah.
And I said, "Listen, Mark, that was a sign. He's passing me the torch.
The baton."
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel absolutely committed to Mike and that race. We raise money every year for the Heart Institute, and I'm just blessed to be able to keep doing that. We sponsor the event. It's completely volunteer driven. None of us get paid, and all of the proceeds go to the Heart Institute.
And I can, I've done it. I've only done it once, but it's such a cool community race.
It is, yeah.
And actually, I looked at it, and I'm probably going to be able to do it this year.
Good. So, yeah, awesome.
So it's a cool little community race. And especially when you live in Ottawa, like Gano Park is such a playground. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. We might have to do this again, talk about some more stem cell stuff, some more triathlon stuff, maybe some nutrition.
Yeah.
It's been a fun little filling little time. You've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.